authority on Don Quixote, in his introduction to Shelton, refers to Cervantes being familiar with Shelton and writes, quote, Thomas Shelton first introduced Cervantes to the larger audience of mankind, and the fact that Shelton is still unsuperseded bears witness to the value of his work. Its naivete, its crude fidelity, and its incomparable vigor give it a place apart. With all his ungrateful contempt for translators and their work, Cervantes himself had been the foremost to applaud the breadth and gusto of a performance still unrivaled. Shelton's title to remembrance is based on the broadest grounds. He had no sympathy for the arid accuracy that juggles with gerunds or toys with the crabbed subjunctive. From the subtleties of syntax, as from the bonds of prosody, he sallies free, and the owls of pedantry have bitterly resented his arrogant disdain for them and theirs. He lived in the very age of Cervantes. He had himself suffered from the malady of knight-errantry. He looked with the eye of a contemporary. He owned an alert intelligence, a perfect sympathy for his author's theme, and a vocabulary of exceeding wealth and rarity. Moreover, and above all things, he was an Elizabethan, a contemporary of Shakespeare's, nurtured on the marrow of lions and blessed with the clear accent of that spacious age. It were too much to say that so had Cervantes written in English, but equity demands the admission that his manner is more nearly attained by Shelton than by any successor. Close quote. This work is an attempt to render the voice of the Shelton translation in a form accessible to the modern reader. It is meant for the reader who wishes to have a sense of what a contemporary of Cervantes and Shelton would have read for enjoyment, and is intended to impart a 17th-century sensibility to the story. The Spanish text used in this endeavor was the Royal Spanish Academy's 400th anniversary edition of Don Quixote, published in 2004. There are no footnotes or endnotes in this edition. If any explanations or clarifications are needed, they are embedded in the body of the text, so as not to interrupt the flow of the words. After all, as Noel Coward once famously remarked, quote, having to read a footnote resembles having to go downstairs to answer the door while in the midst of making love, end quote. Every translation is an interpretation and a series of acts of selection and judgment. Any faults or mistakes in this edition are those of the translator. And so, herewith, is the story of Don Quixote and his trusty squire Sancho Panza, with a nod to Thomas Shelton. BlackRock, 2011. The Life of Cervantes by Tobias Smollett. Miguel de Cervantes Saavedra was at once the glory and reproach of Spain, for if his admirable genius and heroic spirit conduced to the honor of his country, the distress and obscurity which attended his old age as effectually redounded to her disgrace. Had he lived amidst Gothic darkness and barbarity, where no records were used and letters altogether unknown, we might have expected to derive from tradition a number of particulars relating to the family and fortune of a man so remarkably admired even in his own time. But one would imagine pains had been taken to throw a veil of oblivion over the personal concerns of this excellent author. No inquiry hath as yet been able to ascertain the place of his nativity, and although in his works he has declared himself a gentleman by birth, no house has hitherto laid claim to such an illustrious descendant. One author says he was born at Esquivias, but offers no argument in support of his assertion, and probably the conjecture was founded upon the encomiums which Cervantes himself bestows on that place, to which he gives the epithet of renowned, in his preface to Persiles and Sigismunda. Others affirm he first drew breath at Lucena, grounding their opinion upon a vague tradition which there prevails. And a third set take it for granted that he was a native of Seville, because there are families in that city known by the names of Cervantes and Saavedra, and our author mentions his having, in his early youth, seen plays acted by Lope Rueda, who was a Sevillian. These, indeed, are presumptions that deserve some regard, though far from implying certain information, they scarce even amount to probable conjecture. Nay, these very circumstances seem to disprove the supposition, for had he been actually descended from those families, they would, in all likelihood, have preserved some memorials of his birth, which Don Nicholas Antonio would have recorded in speaking of his fellow.